In the meditation today, we will continue to bring our attention to rest with the experience of the breath. So bringing some receptivity, a quality where we can receive just one breath as it is in this moment, just one in-breath and then just one out-breath. And this is what we've been doing. This is what you were doing yesterday, trying to do this. This task of just bringing the attention home again and again and again, being willing to come back every time that we notice we are lost. And when we do this, we start to bring in the power of our mind and start to make our mind stronger and brighter. And what are some of the things you may have noticed so far? One of the things you've probably noticed is that even though you come into the sitting with the intention to be with the breath, very often the mind seems to be everywhere else apart from the breath. And we realize that this practice is not easy. It's not easy to start to train the mind that is more like a monkey, sometimes jumping from this branch to this branch to this branch. So some of this gentle discipline, this discipline that comes from love, is bringing in the monkey mind, training the monkey to just come back again and again. And what else do we see when we start to notice this? It may be that when you came to this retreat, you thought, okay, so I sit in the meditation and I stay with the breath. And then you notice that the mind is everywhere else. And then the question arises, well, who's in charge of this? You know, I want to be with the breath, but I'm not. So who is this? Who is this that thinks they can be in control? So while we make every intention to stay with the breath, it does start to shake us up a little bit to realize maybe we're not in control as much as we thought. And this kind of shaking is very healthy. It's very healthy. While we make the intention to come back, we start to see we don't have the control we thought we did. So again in the meditation, when you notice that your mind is not with the breath, it may be with a thought, with a sound, with a sensation in the body, with a mind state, with a sight. Whenever you notice the mind has gone to one of these experiences, first notice where you are. Ah, I'm thinking. When you notice that your mind is lost, when you notice you are lost, notice where you are in that moment and don't need to add any more judgment. When you notice you are lost, it's good news because you've already woken up. So no need to judge ourselves for having been lost for 10 minutes, 20 minutes, the whole sitting. In the moment that you wake up, that is a moment of awakeness. In that moment, take joy and come back to the breath. And remaining that our primary interest is to be present, to be connected with the moment that we are in. And what can we see when we stay with just one breath, when we're present for just one breath, as it comes in and as it goes out? When we can be with a breath without our labels, oh, this is the breath, and here's me kind of looking at the breath in a kind of a, like we frame the breath in a picture and we're kind of looking at it. But if we come close to the breath, intimate with just the breathing experience, without our labels or concepts of what it is and what we think it is, and yes, it was like the last one and it's probably going to be like the next one. If we can just drop a little bit below that, and just be with it intimately, then some things can start to show themselves to us. Everything that we need to see in this journey can be revealed when we are present. And we use the breath not because it's more special or sacred than anything else, but the breath is always here. The breath is always here and now in this moment. And so it's like an anchor of a ship that keeps us again and again here and now. One of the things we can start to notice when we give this attention to the breath is very obvious, but we start to see it more and more deeply, is that it comes and it goes. And in our mind we know this so well. Yes, yes, things come and go, I know that. But how much do we really know that in our body, in the cells of our intelligence, that things come and go? Do we live as if we know this is true? Or do we try and hold on to things as if their nature was to stay? So if we can stay intimate with the breathing experience, it starts to inform us more and more deeply. Just as something arises into being, it must pass. Just as it takes birth, the breath takes birth, in order for it to die. And this truth of change, this truth of coming and going, we can feel it more and more deeply, and it can be shocking and startling to us as we let it in. We let it in more and more deeply. The other thing we notice is if we try to control the breathing experience. Okay, I only want to have deep breaths because deep breaths are good breaths. If we have any view like this, we know that we will start to suffer, because the breath has its own nature. Sometimes it is deep, sometimes it is shallow, sometimes it's rough, sometimes it's smooth, sometimes it's barely perceptible, sometimes it's big. It has its own nature, and it is a great freedom for us to just allow it to be as it is. Just as it is, not needing to control it. So letting go of needing to make this experience anything in particular, it will reveal itself. And the truth is, this breath has its own life. Sometimes we come to meditation and very easily we think we're doing it. I'm making this breath happen. Here I am. I'm breathing in, now I'm breathing out. And we somehow think, if we stop paying attention, you know, the breath will stop. But it doesn't. It has nothing to do with our wish for it to be there or not. When we came into this world as a baby, we didn't start the machine of breathing. Oh, okay, got to start breathing now, once we come. It has its own nature. And our job really is to be receptive to that, to let it show itself. So we don't need to work so hard on the breath. Sometimes we get the idea we have to kind of cling on to the breath to stay with it, and we have to kind of work hard to make that happen. If we notice we are doing that, just pull back a little bit and have a little bit more receptive quality. And if we notice we're too laid back with the breath, then come in a little bit closer, balancing our effort. So using the breath as the main focus, if we find ourselves lost anywhere else, then coming back to the breathing. Today in the meditation also, we're going to open the attention to include the experience of this bodily human life, this thing we call me in the bodily form. And with the body, the attention can be drawn there in two ways. You will have noticed perhaps already, sometimes the attention is drawn into strong sensation that we call pain. So then you don't have any, you don't have much say in it. You go there. If it's very strong, the attention is drawn there. And that's okay. To be present with pain is equally being present. It's not wrong. It's not something I have to get rid of in order to come back to the breath. The bodily life is present. The sensations of the body are here and now. So this human creature that we are is very sensitive. It's a very sensitive organ of life. And we start to become more interested in this as the mind starts to settle a little bit. We start to investigate the body. But not investigate with our mind of thinking about it, but investigating with our attention. So the light of our attention can go into the body and look a little bit below the ideas we have. So often we relate to our body through labels, through concepts. It's fat, it's old, it's thin, it's beautiful, it's ugly, it's white, it's black, whatever. We identify very much through these concepts. And these concepts are just an appearance. They are the appearance of things. But unless we look below the appearance, we take this appearance as being the truth. And we live as if this is the truth of who I am. Oh, I'm like this because my body's like this. In the meditation, we can start to look behind the appearance, look beneath the appearance to start to reveal a different truth. Not just a concept or a label, but a truth that is more enduring. So at times, as I said, the attention will be drawn into pain. We call pain strong sensations in the body. Letting the attention go there, not in order to be a martyr, not because suffering is good, but because this is what's happening right now. And if pain is what's happening right now, let the attention go there and just notice. Notice what is there behind the label pain. So often with our body we say, oh, pain, and we have a tendency to freeze and kind of make this big separation between here's the pain, where it might be in my knee or my shoulder or my stomach, here's the pain and here's me, and my life would be okay if I could get that away from me and then I'd be okay. And this struggle that we create this big struggle between me and this pain. Here in the meditation we can start to explore, what is that? What is that thing I call pain? Do I really know what it is? Is it really so separate? Is it really so fixed and solid? So when we look closely, we look and see, yes, it's very unpleasant. And then the mind with unpleasant things, I don't like it. And that seems fair enough. Nobody wants to bring pain on themselves. But from that, I don't like it, then it can become this battle. So seeing if we can just look a little bit through the fear that comes when we say, I don't like it, it has to go away. Just, oh, okay, it's difficult, it's unpleasant, but can I just look and see, as if I'd never seen it before? What is it when I look? Is it solid? Is it moving? Is it hot? Is it cold? Is it tingling? Is it pulsing? Is it throbbing? Look and see the sensations of that pain and see if we can be with it. See if we can be with it. So we're not looking for a solution, or we're not looking necessarily to fix it, but we're interested in penetrating appearances. It appears this way, but is this the whole truth? We're interested in penetrating appearances. If the pain becomes very intense or very, very strong, we need to bring wisdom to that. And wisdom might be, I can look more deeply. I can be where the edge of it is and go in a little bit and experience it. The wisdom may be to use the out-breath and directing the out-breath into that area of pain or difficulty and staying steady with the out-breath. Or the wisdom may say in one moment, okay, this is too much. It's become a struggle. It may be wise to just adjust my posture, just move a little bit, and then come back. So it's not just putting up with the pain. Yet life has pain and I have to put up with it. It's not putting up with it. It's being interested in it. So what we notice in the body sometimes is the strong and difficult sensations. Sometimes we notice pleasant sensations arising in the body. And it's possible, if we feel steady and connected, to let our attention feel that too. To explore, what's that? What's that sensation? And then coming back to the breathing. A lot of our experience is neither pleasant or unpleasant. It falls into a middle ground of kind of neither pleasant nor unpleasant, sort of neutral. And this is much of our experience. In practice, we try to bring the same interest to the neutral experience, because so much of our life can be that way. The appearance sometimes, if it's neutral, that's neutral. That's not very interesting. It's boring. It doesn't offer me any excitement. And so we miss huge pieces of our life because we think it's irrelevant, not important. The breath is quite neutral. And in this way, we train our mind to look beyond the appearance of neutral. We call it neutral, but it's not really neutral. This breath that sustains this life, that comes when we are born, and on our last breath, we won't think it's neutral then. We'll probably be very interested. And when we die, this breathing experience sustains this life on this planet, the human life. What is it? Is it really so neutral and dull? So in this way, we start to strengthen our capacity for looking clearly, for being receptive, like a dish, like a satellite dish, being receptive to just what comes, the unpleasant, the pleasant, and the neutral. And this receptive quality is not passive. This receptive quality is very active and interested. And in this way, we can start to look beyond the appearance of things. And this can contribute to our freedom, that we're not stuck in the old mind of how we think it is, but we can open up to how the nature of things really is. So beginning the practice now in this session by checking in with the body, by checking in with the body and establishing a posture that is upright, with the back reasonably straight, and being prepared again to begin again and again. Whatever has come before, can we leave it? Whatever will come, can we not wait for it? Can we just be now? So staying again with the breathing, and then also allowing the attention into the body, if this feels appropriate. And if you get lost and your mind disperses everywhere, come back to just one breath. in the walking meditation today, seeing if we can bring that quality of receptiveness to the walking as we receive the earth with our step. We receive the sensations with each step as it touches the earth. It's not a movement exercise. It's not an exercise in movement. But it is an exercise in moving from the conceptual level, from the idea level, from the labels level, to the experience level, to the level of direct experience. What are the sensations as the foot touches the earth? If we can stay steady with just one footstep, not setting up, oh, I have to be with every footstep for 45 minutes, and then there's this big impossible task ahead and we just think, oh, I might as well give up. But just one footstep, just this one, and then this one. And that way we can just stay present with this moment. While we do this practice again and again, this qualities of heart get stronger and stronger, and this has the effect of allowing the insight that we need to arise as the heart gets stronger. The teacher Thich Nhat Hanh, who Stephen mentioned yesterday, he said, some people say it is a miracle to walk on water. I say it is a miracle to walk on the earth. And really, even if it's just for a moment, we get that sense of, what is this? What is this thing of walking that we just think of as so normal? This human being taking a step. Is it really something that we can take for granted? And as we receive the impressions of the earth, as we receive that into our foot and we feel, is it hot? Is it cold? Is it rough? Is it smooth? Just staying with that. What we can start to see is we're not making it happen ourselves. You could even ask yourself that question as you walk. Who's doing this? Is it me really taking this step? How is this walking? What is this walking? And then the mind will say, yeah, of course it's you. Silly question. But then just coming back to the direct experience of it, just to see if there's something new to see. So keeping the main attention with the footstep, and if you feel steady with the footstep, allowing the attention to come into the body, into the leg as the leg moves and touches, as the leg moves through the air, this heavy earth element, this earth element that we're made up of, lifts and moves and touches the ground. As we feel ourselves in our elemental nature, as we're made up of earth, of air, of heat and cool, and of water, and we feel ourselves moving through space, and then the step and the sensations. And for a moment we may have a glimpse behind the appearance, looking behind the appearance. In the standing meditation, again for the two periods that we have, and standing meditation is very challenging, as you may have noticed. There's no comfortable. It's very hard to be comfortable. At least in the sitting you can kind of fall asleep if it gets too difficult. And that the walking has some movement, but the standing, it's really hard to run away from anything. And that's why it's so challenging. In the standing, can we just stand in that moment and let whatever comes, come. Just to be so solid in the standing. Feeling the feet on the earth, the legs on the earth, ourself, this body as it stands in the space. And then if that feels like too vague, then come back to the feet. Come back to that experience of standing. The encouragement, if you wish to hear the encouragement is to engage as fully as you can with the practices. That if it seems possible, as soon as this sitting is finished, there's no gap between the sitting and the walking. It's not like the sitting ends here and then the walking starts when I get there. The being present is always here. We can be present as we walk out of the hall. And when this instruction used to be given, I used to think, oh no, can't I have a break? You know, can't I have a break from this being present? And that's just the old mind. And that's okay, it might say that. But if for a moment you can just, as you walk out the hall, feel the foot, feel yourself, or notice all these other bodies, what's the experience of people moving? Know what arises for you.